here we are, another Natter That Matters, because all conversations count, the ones in your head and the ones outside of yourself. And today, outside of me, is the lovely Nicola Parker, or Nix, as we're going to call her today, only because it's written on the screen if you can see us. So we'll call her Nix, why not? Hello and welcome to a Natter That Matters.
Thank you so much. I love the name Natter That Matters. I love it so much.
It is, though. It's a natter. Like all of the main things that happen in life, you've just had a bit of a natter, haven't you? You've had a conversation, you know, those quick conversations at the bar or in the toilets of an event where you just had a little natter. They're not about big, heavy kind of meetings, are they? We don't really like that nowadays. So, yeah, it is exactly that.
I thought natter was, I think Northern may be claiming it, but I thought natter was a Northern thing. I didn't think everyone understood what a natter meant.
Well, I'm a Southerner, so there you are. You stand corrected. A natter that matters, yeah. And they all have. I think about some of the conversations I've had in the past that have led to massive business deals, speaking on stages, you know, lifelong clients, people that have just said something that's changed my life. Like a little thing where you go, oh, shit, you're right. Why don't I do that? Or, oh, why don't I stop that? So, yes, it's a big thing. So here we are having a natter. And we're all about the mind, aren't we, today? Both of us. So it's going to be a proper old mindset dig. Introduce yourself, Nix. Tell the world what you do and who you are.
So, as you said, I'm Nix. And I help crazy people, basically. So I'm a mental fitness mentor. And I help people in business with mental illness recovery so that you can feel more independent, more emotionally independent, so that you can confidently show up in your life and business feeling in control of your moods and emotions.
That's a well-practiced little pitch, that is. That's a
networking. Been coached by Danny Wallace, can't you? The Danny Wallace training has ended. I am officially a public speaker. It just comes out of me. I always want to do something at the end and be like, and I did it. It's like,
yeah. So what does that really mean? So to those that are listening that maybe think they've got some mindset or mental health stuff going on, what does that really mean to them?
So I always like to point out there is a difference between mental health and mental illness, and the two are often used kind of interchangeably in the big wide world. But in the mental health world, you can struggle with your mental health, which to me, I put that as more a mindset thing, that you're having some issues with how you're feeling, with your thoughts and your moods and emotions and all that sort of stuff. Versus when it's your mental illness, it's a bit like when you have a cold, you're a bit ill. Whereas if you've got COVID, you're really, really ill. So mental illness is more so that it's more intense than a mindset issue. It's not because of a change in circumstances or because of something of an outside situation that could be fixed if a few things was changed. It's more, it's an actual illness. It may be, for example, an actual chemical imbalance. It may be, so I have what's called comorbid depression and anxiety. It makes me sound like I've died, but I'm not dead yet.
Well, morbid, isn't it? I've never heard of that. And I work with a mind. I've never heard of that. Is that quite
normal? Yeah, it was, I used to call her the happy lady. She was my psychodynamic therapist.
Yeah, I'm with it. Yeah.
Oh, the happy lady. And one day she said to me, like, oh, you are aware you've got comorbid depression and anxiety. And I'm like, am I not really here? Am I in a different place? But it's basically, that means if you've got a physical illness, I won't name mine because it's complicated. Stat 1 mutation, if you want to Google it, it's very rare. So it means that my depression and anxiety is directly linked to the chemical imbalances from my illness. No matter what I did, it wouldn't be if I changed my way of thinking or if I changed my external circumstances, I would still have that chemical imbalance because of my illness. So that's kind of a bit of the difference between mental health and mental illness. Is illness is more long term, whereas mental health is more, might be more of a mindset issue, might be more of an outside circumstances.
So you deal with the mental health?
I deal more with the mental illness. Excuse me. So it's more, for example, I'd probably send someone your way if I felt they were struggling with mindset, whereas if it was like they've got BPD or bipolar or depression or anxiety, then it'd be like, I deal with batshit crazy, basically.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad to have this conversation because they're the people I don't coach.
Yeah,
anybody's on medication, essentially. Antidepressants is slightly different, but anything stronger, I'm like, no, that's not my bag. So most definitely that's where that line is. I love that. I love that we've both got that line. You've got to, haven't you? Because anything that's And I say that I coach and train and certify coaches, and so helping them understand who they can and can't coach is a really big deal. We spend a couple of weeks on it because there's a lot of shit going on out there. People trying to do stuff with, stuff, horrible energy. And I say, is if whatever's going on in somebody's brain, they can pinpoint to something that happened, i.e., oh, I was fine until I was 14 and I was bullied. It's like, oh, well, this is a circumstantial situation for your brain. If I've always felt like this, my mum had this, my dad had this, or hang on a minute, and you're on medication, this is not for me. So actually, this is where Nix comes in, and we'll hand them over to you most definitely. So there's a massive difference. I'm with you. And a lot of people don't really understand that themselves, and even in the profession, don't understand that.
Oh yeah, don't get me started on the profession.
That's a tricky trickster for you then. So what, how does your work work?
So it's basically because I have lots, like I said, I'm batshit crazy myself, and I'm a big believer that healed people heal people. And I'm very proud and really old now. I didn't always, my batshit craziness. I'm still crazy, I always will be, but I'm much more in control of the crazy than I ever was. My partner may not agree, but he gets to see that I can lose control with you, mate. But even that, for example, today, it's the job he told me this morning. But today it's our 14-year anniversary. Who knew? Need to go get a card.
God, oops.
But I have something called borderline personality disorder. Some people know it, some people go, oh yeah, when I say that. But it's also known as emotionally unstable personality disorder. They are the same, they're just used. Some people didn't like emotionally unstable or borderline, people took issue with both. So I'll often say I'm the most likely serial killer in the room, which makes people feel so safe. Helps me feel safe. I was at a retreat recently and I was on the upper floor and I didn't really know anybody. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've all posted this on our socials that we're on this farm in the back of beyond. Like, someone on social media is going to be like, do you know what? I bet out of all them people there, someone forgot to lock the door and they're going to come in and we're going to be in little pieces. And this is it. This is Chainsaw Massacre in the Welsh Hills. And then I was like, come on. Let's talk to yourself, Nick. Let's calm yourself down. And I was like, well, statistically, I'm the most likely serial killer here, so I'm the issue. And then I went to sleep and I was like, yeah. So I was like, actually, I've got this. But it means that I am not supposed to be able to control my moods and emotions. It means that I'm not supposed to be able to maintain long-term relationships. That's kind of one of the big kind of what's the word, highlights or criteria, that's what I'm looking for, of diagnosing someone with BPD or EUPD, is are they struggling to maintain long-term relationships or relationships? Yeah.
Absolutely. I have, he really has struggled. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's really struggled. And I think also then the thoughts of things outside of that relationship become so that, yeah, he really, really struggles with that without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah, it's a big deal. He knows it though. I think the awareness is a different thing, isn't it? A lot of people are not even aware, are they? They're just, I think with all life, they're just peddling through life, not knowing who they are. There's probably a load of undiagnosed stuff going on out there where people are just booze and drugs and whatever, gambling, sex, to get through life. And I know before he was diagnosed with bipolar, yeah, he used to drink, like, I mean, a lot of drinking to make himself happy, to make himself low, to sleep, like a lot of it. I remember kind of thinking, God, and there'd be days where I didn't see him at all. I wouldn't hear from him or anything, where he'd just go into a very quiet mode. And I'd be like, I'm ADHD. I'm like, once that happens, I'm like, what's going on over there? What's going on? I need to help you. I need to be able to sort that out. No, completely non-responsive. So yeah, very, I'm quite aware of bipolar disorder, how that impacts just from
Yeah, and
that.
it's very similar. Bipolar and BPD are very similar. That is, I think it's seven or eight bipolars, and it's bipolar. I'm dyslexic, so my numbers go everywhere. But it's bipolar 4 or 5 is very, very similar to BPD or EUPD. So sometimes you can be misdiagnosed. It might be actually a bipolar or actually a BPD. So there's a big overlap. But I think I prove that yes, I still have BPD. I still show traits of that in some ways. Yeah. Like I've just said, I've been in a relationship for 14 years, so I can control it now without having to use, like you said, some of the things like I wanted to say sex, drug, and rock and rolls, but I've never done rock and roll. But done all the rest, just not rock and roll. So it's taking control of it Our way, like I said in my little introduction, that I'm doing it like that blurb throughout diarrhea. It's having control of that. And like you said, for me, it's helping people to see that. And that's the first thing I'll do is talk about the pink elephant in the room. So we all know the elephant in the room is usually like when we're in a lift and someone farts and nobody mentions it, nobody says anything. You're all just looking at each other like, okay. The pink elephant in the room is similar but different. And I just say pink because it's my favorite color. But it's the day-to-day symptoms of our mental health or mental illnesses that we know are there, but we just don't look at and we just don't talk about and we just don't deal with. So the first thing I do when I work with someone is look at acceptance, is accepting who you are, what's going on, how you react, how you respond. And instead of thinking, oh, I don't want to respond like that, or why am I doing that? It's like, no, let's just accept where we are right now. And that's the first two things, like you said, often we're too busy trying to numb whatever we're reacting like, or too busy trying to control it with other unhelpful coping mechanisms that get nowhere.
And that's the same with everybody. Everybody does that. We just do it slightly differently, I suppose, depending on who we are and what our conditions are or conditions aren't really. So I'm self-diagnosed ADHD, and I've known this for a very long time, and it's a superpower for me. Like I've learned how, a bit like you've learned how to manage yourself, I've learned how to manage this. I know there's times when I'm hyper-focused. The wife literally just throws drinks towards the table and doesn't interrupt me, otherwise I'll bite her head off. I don't, once I'm in that hyper focus, don't interrupt me. I'm literally the hell could freeze over and I'm still carrying on. And then there's other times where I'm just not feeling it at all. So I've learned to work with those. At one point, I thought they were my mental cycle. That's, oh, you can have that. But it was my menstrual, I thought it was my menstrual cycle, but it was my mental cycle. Oh, just had a moment. Oh, there, somebody copyright that. My menstrual cycle, because I went to a conference about 6, 7 years ago. I've been doing this for a very long time. I think I'm considerably older than you. And she was talking about the different parts of you as a female when you go through your menstrual cycle. Like, there's times where you're like the warrior, like you'll just, can defeat the world. And there's other times where you're the mother, where you just want to hug everyone and say it'll be okay. And there's all these different cycles. So I always thought it was that until TikTok arrived. And then I thought, oh no, that's definitely me. And I look at all of the stuff to do with ADHD and some of the autistic stuff. Like I have to, when I was about 10, I was alphabetizing my record collection, real records like vinyl, that's how old I am. But I was, they were all in a book and they were all written down. Like that's not normal behavior. I look back at that and think there was little stickers on them and I'd go mad if they were out of order. That's not normal behavior for a 10-year-old girl. So, I look back at some of the things and can self-diagnose, whereas a lot of people don't have a clue, do they? So the first thing is they come to you because they know there's something not quite right. And they know maybe they've done some mindset work. Typically, are your clients already done,
Yeah,
tried?
sometimes it's a case of, excuse me, I always get a frog in my throat. As soon as my throat sees that someone's recording, it just dry. No matter how much I drink, it goes out. It's like my throat doesn't agree with the rest of me. It's like, no, we're not doing it. So excuse the constant coughing, it will carry on. But yeah, so some people will come to me with respect and they'll say, I've done mindset, but it's actually not gone deep enough for me, or it's got me, but then it's not fully got me because it's more intense for me, or the things that I suggested seem to work for everybody else in the program, yet I'm still really, really struggling. So sometimes I'll get that where people have gone, I've tried all the mindset stuff and it just doesn't work for me. And I think that's the first crucial thing that I do with people is get you to research you. So a bit like what you said with TikTok, and it's like, oh, actually, I'm seeing things, because I am a big believer on it's okay to self-diagnose, because when you're going through a diagnosis through the system, that doctor or psychologist or whatever is seeing such a small glimpse of you, and your brain is a little fucker. It's the most stubborn get you've ever met. It wants
ADHD,
to be
especially
right.
people, very good at masking. So
Yeah.
I watched today that was saying about how they diagnose ADHD in women at on average age 30, whereas in boys it's 6. So women are so good at masking,
Yeah.
like we want to belong, we want to be accepted, that kind of level. So women mask a lot of that. Like they'll, all the videos where you go out and have an amazing time and get in the car and go, oh my God, please don't let
Yeah.
me pee. There's a lot of that goes on. So we kind of mask a lot of stuff. So yeah, it's not picked up
Because
in.
women's brains, we're still living in like the caveman days, really. And our brains are still like, if a man gets excluded from the pack, excuse me, it's much easier for him to go and find a new pack because he's a male and he can be dominating and this, that, and the other. Whereas someone who's more in the female energy, they are more at risk if they're out of the pack. So we still have that. So I think that links into why boys will show it quite sooner, whereas a female might be like, actually, it's a safety thing that I've got to mask that because that's what was built within us way back in the day.
I have so many people that join my community and they join programs. I don't even think they know what they are. They're like, I just want to get in your world because I'm looking for where I belong. I'm looking for my tribe. I'm looking for, you know, the people that are my people. And there's so many people out there that don't know where they belong. And that's exactly why, because they've tried to fit into all the places that aren't right for them. And so when you find your tribe, it's a really great place, isn't it? It's a very different energy. There's no judgment. You feel relaxed. You feel calm. It's like you've come home. And I think if you've not experienced that, you don't know what that's like. You can't describe that to somebody. They'll just be going to things. In fact, I watch a few people, you must do it as well. And they're going to loads of stuff. And I think they're all different tribes. It's almost like you're trying tribes and you haven't found one. And then I see them find a tribe and they glow and you're like, oh, you found your tribe. Oh, it's lovely. It's like, you know, watching someone find the right school for themselves. It's the same, isn't it? Your tribe will be very different to my tribe and very different to Danny's tribe. I mean, you're probably more this tribe. I don't really know her. Although I have booked for the big festoon. I was very lucky to get in next year. So we'll meet in person, if not before, next year. So I was well lucky because I just took action and thought, I'm not missing out. The FOMO got me. I really wanted to go this year and I couldn't. So,
doing that. It seems to be where she has an event that sells out. Then the next one dies down a bit. Then the next one sells out. That last few years, it's done that. But yeah, and I think that's why I so confidently own being batshit crazy, because I think we see people on social media being like, oh, I'm struggling, and I'm being open and honest, but I'm like, I'm crazy and I don't care. And that's it. It's not been easy to get to that point, but it's like now showing others and attracting my tribe by going, I'm the most like serial killer in the room and I don't care. Like I'm crazy and I don't care.
You run events, you'll be talking about how you can actually murder. This is like the brigade. This is how we're gonna.
And I've studied law, so I actually know I can only kill men, unfortunately. So women are safe, but I can only kill men. You just need some frog serum thing and it's fine, it can't be detected in the blood. So that's why my partner's been with me 14 years. He don't leave.
No, don't leave. And if anyone dies anywhere near Nick's, please strike from the records this whole conversation
without prejudice. Can't use it now.
It's all very exciting. So what do things one-to-one with people? I'm assuming a lot of your work is more that way, is it?
I do a bit of both, because to be honest, I'm very, very big on protecting ourselves and all the rest of it. So for me, my boundaries are shit. They're shocking. And I love that my boundaries are shit and shocking. But it does mean that it takes out a lot of me when I'm doing one-to-ones. So I only have a small space for one-to-one capacity. At the minute, I'm fully booked, which makes it sound like I'm trying to create FOMO. I'm not. It's just because I don't open up lots of spaces for one-to-one, so they're going to go more quickly. There is a waiting list. I think June is the next time, because I also tend to offer long-term one-to-one support, because I'm so big on the NHS kind of has you for 6 sessions and you're out the door and what have you. So it's like mine, I've had some people having one-to-ones with me for excuse me, like 3 years now, so I won't end unless you want to end. But I do also have my group/self-study program, which is my Stronger Than Your Mind Academy. It's basically a monthly membership program, where my 5-stage framework is all within there and you can do it self-study. And then we have the group support within the Facebook group as well. But also then we do a Monday check-in. But again, you have to make sure that I'm your right person, because the check-ins are very colourful. So we do a shit check-in. So I always think it's a bit hard sometimes to check in. Like, if anyone's ever had group therapy, it's awful. And they're like, how are you feeling today? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't want to be in this room. Piss off. I feel shit. It's really hard sometimes to say it. Or if it's connected to a situation that's happened, you can't really get the words out because it's connected to something. So we will use numbers. Some people prefer number 1 to 10, or we use shit. So for example, you might say, I'm having a right diarrhea day, which that means shit's hit the fan, basically. Or it might be, I'm shitting like a rabbit, and you're just all a bit bunged up. You don't know what's going on for you. Do you see why I have to really explain the check-in? Because
I need to put a language warning on this when it goes out, because some people are like, they won't. People who follow me, they're used to the language, by the way. I'm from London. F is a very normal, you know, F and Jeffin is very normal for me. But Yeah, that honesty place, there's not a lot of that goes on in the world. I think, it sounds like yours is a place where people can really take that mask off and be themselves. She Enjoys is exactly the same because people said to me, why do you call it She Enjoys? I said, well, A, my name, Joy, enjoy, Vivienne Joy. But B, most women aren't enjoying anything. They're not enjoying their life. They're certainly not enjoying their business. They're stressed out, comparing themselves, procrastinating. They're all over the place. So actually, they need a place where they can take that mask off. And I run, like I say, an event tomorrow. I run all sorts of things where they can just come, not a moan fest, but just to let that shit go so that we can get on with stuff so we can help work them out. And it sounds like you do a similar thing. So it's very exciting. I think it's great what you're doing. And I don't know anyone else is doing what you're doing, Nick. So well done. I don't. A lot of people doing mindset coaching, a lot of people mental health, in first aid kind of. In fact, somebody messaged me yesterday to say, do you do mental health first aid? I'm like, no, that's not what
Yeah,
I do.
quite that
It's
in it.
quite a different, that's a course, that's a very different thing. So, but yeah, not a lot of people helping the people that really have got some real long conditions. And I suppose it's a great business model apart from really helping people because they stay with you for a long time. You know,
Yeah,
you're not
no, that's the start of
oh,
it. That's yeah.
situation, is it? They don't come and have a session and that's, oh, brilliant, I'm fixed, thanks, I'm off. No. So they're, great business model. So talking about your business, when did you start this then? How did you decide, right, I'm going to do this?
I wish I had a date for that because I keep getting asked that more. The more and more I'm putting myself out there, and I was a business owner, the more I get asked that. And I don't really, and I sound really not quiche. Not I don't want to say quiche. Cliche. Quiche. What the fuck?
Love quiche. Let's
Quiche.
go with quiche. Quiche. Quiche.
I think
Quiche.
it's because I keep saying about the event, and I've got cake in my head, and then I'm thinking, oh, quiche would be nice.
What? I agree. Maybe quiche and coffee. Coffee quiche and coaching. That could work, actually. I think that could work. Anyway.
It's lovely talking to me, innit? We go everywhere.
This is my life normally, anyway. Please know this. Please know this. Talked about shit and shit before. That's new. That's quite new for me. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I do own the craziness. So it was very organically. So I do what I do because I'm a big believer in healed people heal people. And I learned more about mental health and mental illnesses when I went through my own mental health breakdown than I ever did when I'd studied to be a counsellor. So I kind of studied it and then decided to become my own patient basically and was like, oh, now I'll just do that shit. But I learned more during that time, and I'm going to show my age now. I've just got a young face, I think. Apparently someone said that I looked I mean,
Oh,
it was under 30. She was like, I think you should have
yeah.
now.
I thought about 24, 25, which shows my age.
I want to wake my teenager up. I'm like, listen.
Told you I'm then young.
I'm nearly 40. I'm 37.
Yeah, no, you're not nearly 40 at 37. Do not do that to yourself. Trust me, you'll be counting every moment that is in that era. Trust me on that. No, gosh,
I feel
37.
like I'm knocking on the door now at 40. I'm like, hello, let me in. Because I'm not young. I've got a 19-year-old, so I could never feel young.
Oh.
19, 15, 16, and 4. But anyway, back to the
Oh, you've got a
question.
great
So,
like that. Wow, no, wow,
So yeah,
madam.
it was organically. I was doing what the teenagers would be like, what? Vlogging. Like, I'd created a bit of a Facebook group and I was just logging, showing, like, look, actually, I'm a qualified counsellor and I'm going through this shit now and I'm finding it really hard. I was at uni, my third year studying law, not knowing what I was doing. I was doing it because I'm dyslexic and I've got dyspraxia and all this other shit. And I was like, I'll do law then. I was a single mum to the three kids. I have got four now, but she's only just come along. Sorry, I always forget. I'm like, shit, four. So I'd kind of dropped out of doing law because it was very overwhelming. I was doing really well in it, apparently, but I was putting a lot of pressure. If I weren't getting 100%, I wasn't happy. If I was getting like a second rather than a first in my assignments, I'd crucify myself over it. So I just started to vlog that experience and show, excuse me, that even if me as this qualified counsellor who's now studying law, with a view to I was going to join the police and kind of try and merge the counselling and the legal stuff together, I just wanted to show that and be honest with that. And I think I've always been an honest person. It's one of my core values is I'll be honest with you, so you can start being honest with yourself. And I'm really brutally honest. So when people come to me and want that honesty, sometimes they then run away and be like, shit, I didn't mean that honest, but that's what you're gonna get. So it was just very naturally just vlogging and saying, like, I used to go live before and after my sessions with the happy lady, the psychodynamic therapist, just to show, you know, we might go to a session and we're really thinking, God, they're going to bring this up. Oh, or they said last week they're going to talk about this, and oh my God, it's going to be like this, and blah, blah, blah. And then coming out of it and going, right, they didn't bring up that. I really wanted to say this, but I didn't. And I just sat there wondering why she was wearing them shoes today. And then, yeah, I feel pretty shit now and I've got to drive home. So just to show the what it's like to go through it. It did get very dark because I have tried several times to end my life. And I was getting to the point where, again, I'm brutally honest, I was like, wow, if I'm that thick, I can't even kill myself. I might as well try and find a way to do this then, like to try and just stay here. So again, I didn't even have that big epiphany of, I want to do it for the kids or for my fella or for whatever. It was, well, no, my kids are better off without me. I don't believe that now. But at the time, that was a firm, solid belief of mine. It was literally, I think it was when I got to the point where I could loosely hear the paramedics around me, and I could hear them saying to my mum's partner at the time, it 30 seconds later and she wouldn't be here. You did right by smashing the window, doing whatever they'd done. And I just thought, you twats, go and help someone who wants to be helped. Go and say, how dare you stop me from getting to peace? And it was after that, and they'd said, like, gosh, she's tried so many times. Like, when is she going to stop? And I think hearing those sort of things didn't make me think, yeah, maybe I should stop. I thought, God, I'm so thick. Why can't I get this right? Why can't I just kill myself? And it sounds really dark. It is dark and it is really sad. But for me, that was my turning point to be like, well, I'm going to have to just figure it out. Then I'm going to have to just do something about it. And so I was really documenting. I never said how I'd tried to attempt to end my life and them sort of things. I was very aware not to go into details, but I'd still be on a live set the day after I'd been released from hospital going, I'm still fucking here, guys. I tried again, but I'm still here. And this is what I'm doing. And I started the hashtag why not campaign on my Facebook, which was to really flip in my head every day. It was do it. There's this reason to do it. There's that reason. It was like, okay, every day I'm going to force myself to find three reasons why not to end my life that day. And that's what I started to do within my, I think there was like 100 people, and it was a small community compared to what people can grow. But to me, it was like, there's 100 of us here. And the learning from that one lady who was with me since then is still with me now. She's gone through it all with me and we've kind of grown together. So it was through doing all the things like that and then healing myself and going through loosely the system, because I don't blame the people who are the staff in the system, I blame the system. So realizing there wasn't a lot of support, realizing there's lots of support, maybe not now, but there's support for crisis point, there's support for if you're trying to end your life, and they'll pretty much just lock you in a room and make sure you can't hurt yourself. But then after that, what's next? After oh, don't worry, no, they're just intrusive thoughts. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? I know what intrusive thoughts are, but I couldn't put that on myself. And okay, well, now you know that they're intrusive. Now what do I do with them, though? How do I stop them happening? Why is it happening? So the business has been going for, say, 5 or 6 years, but only in the last 4 years was I was like, actually, I can really help and make a difference. And, you know, back in the day, I wasn't really charging and I was doing one-to-ones.
You weren't trying to create a business. It's great. I follow a guy on TikTok. It's completely unrelated, but it's the same concept around weight loss. He lost 100 pounds. His name's Chris. And when I was following him, there was no business element to it. It very clearly wasn't. Like, he was all, and I kept thinking, wow, you could have a massive business. Look how many followers need your help. And he now has a business. But I absolutely believe the first year, at least 18 months, there was no intention for him. He was just showcasing his journey, keeping himself accountable, exactly like you were doing. And I think that organic growth, and ironically she enjoys, I created, because I couldn't go to women's only networking because they were locked out for business coaches and mindset coaches. So I thought, well, you know what, I'll start my own. So I didn't intend to build the machine I've got now, which is, you know, quite a big old thing. There's all sorts of clubs and memberships and all sorts of things. It was almost accidental that I then ran these events. We had a great time and people came up and said, oh, you talked about that, I've got a problem, can you help me? And I was training to be a coach. So it was, I think, sometimes the best businesses organically, almost accidentally, intuitively are guided. So really nice to hear that that's what you're doing. So what's the future for you then, Nyx? What do you think is going to happen? World domination, is that your plan? Or
I've put him down. I'm gonna say, apart from having Peter Andre, I have got a life size cut out of him now. I was giving it on the stage.
Peter Andre.
But he's taller than he's taller in my cutout than he is in real life, because I've met him and he's not that tall. It's a bit short. So the ultimate goal, mission goal, Narvin, can you tell what I'm saying when I say goal? Goal.
I live in Nottingham, so I come to Leeds and up that way quite a lot as well. So there
you
go.
Oh, yeah, I love that accent. So the ultimate goal is to have an MBE for my services to mental health. So I want to, like, again, to go a bit dark and gloom, my life expectancy, because of some of my physical illnesses, is 37. So I'm literally like, okay. So I want that to have a meaning. I want that to make a difference. Like, I've got the kids, they're a legacy. They're going to leave stuff that, you know, they're going to be like, oh, that was my mum, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully they'll say I was a great mum. She was a bit crazy, but she was great. But I want to be able to show and for people to say, actually, like, I call anyone I support my butterfly, because it is about, you know, that transition and becoming a butterfly. So I want to leave that behind. And my whole goal is to get people who come to me, help them heal themselves, and then for them to go off and qualify in whatever, you know, I'm a big believer you do need the skills if you're going to help people. So it might be coaching, it might be NLP, it might be being a counselor, whatever, and then use my academy. So to franchise the academy so that there's lots of people then continuing to spread, because I'm a big believer my framework is shit hot. I think it's amazing. It's shown that not just in me, but in the others it's helped. So I think the whole goal is to have lots of people, and that it's a wide world known thing.
Okay, got the same mission, Nick. So that's why I certify, train, and mentor NLP coaches. So it's coaching and NLP and master NLP. So if any of your people want to do that, please send them my way, and we can help them get those skills, come back, and then build whatever they're going to build. So the skills are really important in coaching and therapy. Exactly. A lot of people out there, I've got no issue with people who are, you know, consulting and mentoring. That's a different thing. But coaching is quite specific. And I think it's got a bad rep because people don't really know what it is. But when it's pure and when it's real, yeah, it's really, really powerful. So, yeah, I love that.
I think that's why I call myself a mental fitness mentor, because I feel like when I say I'm a counselor, even though I can legally say I'm a counselor, I have qualified to see my certificates. But I don't know if you're aware, but legally, anyone can call themselves a counselor. Legally, anyone can. So I dropped that to show, well, I don't mean any offense to people who are just a counselor, but I'm also giving my lived experience on top of my counseling. So I thought saying mentor best fit it. But I think you're right. I'm a big believer in that. Lots of people will go through their own struggles and then think I can help others. But helping others, as I know you'll know, is not easy. And if you've not been trained to help others, then you're going to say, like I said at the start, I only have so many spaces for one-to-ones. I could, you know, not to sound big-headed, but I could have more spaces, be generating more of an income to feed my kids. Sorry, beans on toast tonight. I have to be careful of me and what I'm capable of taking on. And if I'd not had that professional training as a counsellor, I wouldn't have known to do that. So I'm a big believer in that. Some people will do my program, like, I want to help people with this. Or I'm sure you'll have the same. People see my stuff and start copying it and think it's easy and they can just do it. And it's like, but then when you've got to deal with a one-to-one and people are maybe telling you things that you think you're fine with, but when you hear it, and if you're an empath, like I'm sure we are, and you feel that's not as easy. It's not. I think a lot of people look at the end goal of, oh, I've helped someone and it feels amazing. But the journey to get them to that end goal is intense, isn't it?
So when I first started doing training, I had no intention of training and certifying coaches. And then I kept having people saying, I want to do what you do. It must be amazing. Like, I can't believe how you've changed my life. Even in two or three sessions, like, it must be amazing. And like, it really is. So it took me a few years to get my head around it, to create a really powerful, I didn't want to just do NLP. I didn't want to just do coaching. I wanted to put a whole load of my own, as you say, lived experience, my own structures, my own methodologies of how I get into that part and find that part out, rather than just ask the standard kind of questions. And so when they first started to learn, they were like, wow. And I still have them. And in fact, it really made me laugh. I run one on a Monday and a Tuesday. I run like different cohorts. And on Tuesday, they're literally, next week is their last one. They've done 6 months. So they really are ready to go, to fly. You know, their butterflies ready. They're now just fluttering, waiting to just take off. And it was really lovely because they were like, oh, why do you keep doing this? And I don't know. They're like, that's definitely an anchor. We want to understand what it is. And they all started to coach me. I'm like, ah, whoa, like, that is just such an amazing feeling to think I've created this load of people who are just so powerful in their belief system that they're going to turn around and speak to me and ask me to do that. And I was like, that is just everything. And I remember somebody saying to me, aren't you worried that you're creating people that are better than you? I said, I'm not worried. I'm fucking determined to create coaches that are better than me, because Well, there's people out there with skills in different areas they'll bring into this. They'll put this into another business. Like, if you were to put, I don't know if you've done NLP, if you put NLP into your business, the coping strategies and understanding off the chart. Like, it's really powerful tools to put into things. So, yeah, it sounds like you're doing the same from your end. So, it's very lovely to meet you properly. Very lovely indeed. And I'm definitely going to watch you. And I think we're probably in each other's world for a reason. We do similar, but very different and for different kinds of people. And I think, that exchange of, I definitely can't help people that you help, and you probably don't do what I do because it's a very different thing. So, we're all in this together. That Rumi quote that we're all just walking each other home is one I really like, because there's so much competition and horrible stuff going on out there that we all just want to help people realistically, and we all just need to find our unique thing, don't we? And I think those people that haven't are the ones out there giving it and stealing, like, I haven't really found their way. But when you find your way, like you say, you get booked out, it's a bit of a problem. So you're creating people that can help your people, because there'll be lots of people that come towards you that could be helped by the people you
Yeah,
have.
I think there's no such thing as competition, because you could both be qualified in the exact same way, the exact same thing, but you've not both got the same life experience, and that's, and you've not all got the same per, like, I don't even know, it's about to swear a little bit. So some people would hate that. Like my partner, he went for therapy. He's like one of the Oasis brothers. He's a proper manc, and he loves swearing. But when he had therapy, he really didn't like the fact that his therapist was swearing. So that was just a thing for him. So I don't know why he's in a relationship with me like that. I swear all
You know,
the
it's therapy, that's all right.
time. he asks it. Yeah. But it just shows that, you might like someone and get on with them as a person or as a friend or in a relationship, but that doesn't mean they're the right person to coach you or to therapize you. So, like,
Ever that, and I knew it anyway, but when I started, so I'm in my second year now of certifying coaches. And they're all going through the same training. I mean, yes, it changes because we have different examples of things going on in each live session, but actually they're so different. Like, and it just shows, it really does highlight that to me. Even I didn't know it before, I know it now. There's certain people are just good. And I have people come towards me now and I'm like, oh, you need to go and see her. So it's really lovely because I know that they're going to get helped. I know they're going to get the right help. I know they're the right person. I know they're going to get treated in the right way rather than just recommending them to somebody out there. So, yeah, you're definitely doing the right thing. Let's hope the universe gives you as many years as you can possibly have, darling, because
absolutely,
I think
can't get rid of
that,
me that easily.
yeah, no, I don't think you're going anywhere. You probably outlive me, to be fair. We've got quite a few years on me, 14 of them, to be precise. So, could be your mother if I'd have started really young. Yeah, it could have been.
Have
Anyway.
a new mum. I don't have a mum. I'm up for adoption.
I'll tell a wife you're up for adoption, what she says. As long as you like dogs, you'll be all right. We've got four of those.
Oh,
So,
that's bad dogs.
oh, we need to sort that out. I have to let one of my NLPers sort your fear of dogs out. It's a really easy fix. It's a one session fix. One and done, that is, I tell you now. So, yeah, watch out for them because they're all saying they need volunteer clients and things as they're going through. But yeah, watch out for it. They'll help you with that, most definitely. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here, my darling. If you want to get in touch with Nick, you hear this and you're thinking, oh, that's what's really going on for me. That's why that's not working. That's why I feel this way. Get in touch. I'm going to drop her website address here, which I'm sure you can connect with her on all the socials and follow her journey and join things and talk to her. But definitely get in touch if, mental illness is definitely something you're fearful of, have got, have had, is the history of, or just really want to know more about or get some help with, then go and see Nix. And you're guaranteed a good laugh as long as you don't mind swearing. She might ask you how shit you feel when you arrive. That's probably the way. Is that what your website says? How shit you feel?
I should
Is
say it does mention serial killer, but then my creative director was like, let's move serial killer down a little bit. Let's bring them in slowly.
I'm just worried about SEO for that. I just wonder if you're getting a bit blacklisted for that. You might want to have a little look at that one, just check. Might be able to just swap a few words then. Serial, maybe change it to a one in it or something, and a
Yeah.
killer. I'm just wondering if you're blacklisted on SEO for that. But anyway, it's been a joy, and I look forward to seeing more of you and what you're doing and letting people know the fabulous work. Brilliant. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.